This is a lifesaver, so I won't talk too much. People think I talk too much.
This is Alon Danziger, host of Lost and Rewound, the weekly dive into your rough and raw sounds from the past unearthed. Listen back to our past selves with fresh ears and gain some perspective about how we got from there to here. Come and get embarrassed with us every Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Elon stinks!
Let's take a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye!
Hey, this is Shane, the host of your favorite radio show.
Everybody plays the fool.
Radio Free Brooklyn programming is created by independent hosts and producers, and the views expressed by hosts and guests on their programs do not represent the views of Radio Free Brooklyn, its staff, or management. Thanks for listening, and enjoy Radio Free Brooklyn.
This is what Brooklyn sounds like.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. Yes, no.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it. It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Where next message.
Seriously, guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show. Right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big. Really big.
Message erased.
To the west, wanted to run far away as I could, as fast as I could get. No matter where I've been, I can't escape who I am or forget. Into your boots. as the day goes down.
It's pretty close to that. Yes. We are Dave and Giggles. Giggles, you hear me? What's going on over there? Oh, boy. Oh, things are happening. All right, let's close that down. Giggles can't hear me, but we're going to get that. Oh, I know why. I turned the volume down. Does that work now? We are Dave and Giggles. And give me 1 second, Giggles. 1 second. And sometimes we have because he's in Colorado, so things get a little wacky sometimes when the internet's acting a little wacky. But we are Dave and Giggles, and I am so excited to have Amy Bales in the studio.
Thanks
this
for
is awesome.
Me.
This is so great.
To be here.
Yeah, I'm very excited that you are here. Let's see. I'm just gonna twiddle some knobs for a second, and make sure that everybody is up and running. Can you hear everything good?
Yeah,
we're starting off
think
with a bang.
So. I only have audio on my left side of my headphones. I don't know if that's
that might be a weird headphone
or,
thing.
Yeah,
but that's cool.
What
you
else?
Can take one off. It's cool.
Fine. Yeah.
So just for the record, to know that I'm not absolutely totally insane. I just got off the road coming from DC, which I told you before. So I am I've been sitting in traffic. My knee is like tensed up and acting all funky, and it's all fun. But I'm super excited to have you guys here. And let me see if I can get him back on here.
Yeah.
Oh boy. And you got guitars. Mm-hmm. You brought your friend. Why don't you introduce him? Because I haven't got a chance to meet him yet.
So this is Nat Osborne. He co-wrote a few of the songs on the record with me and helped me produce it and put it together and was a part of the whole record and has also been a part of my musical journey since I've been in New York as well. We were lucky enough to meet each other.
You met him
in
2009.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I moved here, we bartended together.
Oh, you bartended together. How was that?
You know, it was bartending. It was good.
It was bartending.
It was good. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So then you bartended and you were like, boom.
Yeah.
We're going to hand it off and you're going to be part of my band and you're going to produce my stuff. That's pretty much how
more
it worked
or less,
out.
More eventually.
It didn't happen that quickly, but kind of, yeah. I've been thinking about this. Do you remember the first time we played music together?
Yeah, I was in Prospect Park. Yeah.
Prospect Park? What was it?
The park next to your house, next to your apartment.
Yeah,
that's right. That you lived. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you invited me out to like play some songs, and he taught me some of his songs, and I got the harmonies pretty much right away, and he was like, all right, well, this works. That's cool.
That's how it worked. Yeah. That's how easy it was.
Yeah, it really fit really, really quickly and easily. Yeah, it was great.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we started off with a band that you saw last night.
Yeah, Patty Griffin.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that show was really good.
It was amazing, yeah.
I went to go see a show last night. I was telling you about it. The Trey Anastasio show. I would love you guys to play a song so I could work out some stuff over here.
Cool.
Play a song.
Yeah, man.
Chill out. I'm excited to hear it. What
awesome.
Song would you guys want to start out with?
Let's start with the first song on the record. If You Loved Another. Oh, Nat's going to tune real quick though. Sorry. Tuning. Do you want my tuner?
Not good.
Oops. Making a mess of things. So yeah, this is the first song on the record Enough, called If You Loved Another, and this one Nat started out writing and I kind of took it and wrote more of it, and then we worked on it together, and it was really
This was one of a bunch of ideas that I wrote down in Nashville when I was considering going down there and doing the songwriting thing. And then I didn't know what to do with it, and then I showed it to Amy, and she was like, oh. Cool.
I got this.
And she took the idea and ran with it.
That sounds great.
Yeah, which is kind of like the best thing to happen to a song, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, collaborative work is so great because you could just like bounce an idea off of someone. And because like when you're working alone, it's just so hard to be like,
yeah,
I'm going to work this out myself. I'm just going to pound the gear, you know, like pound the street and just kind of like figure it out. But when you got someone to bounce it off, you have like another brain. It's great, you know?
Totally. And also it's, you know, when you're a songwriter, and maybe you can relate, sometimes, you know, some songs come in any number of percentages. You can start a song and it's like 5% of a song. And every once in a while you like sit down and write a whole song and it's everything you ever wanted it to be. But that's so rare.
Right. Exactly.
So it's really great to like write, you know, 40% of a song and be like, I don't know what to do this, and then show it to someone, have it inspire them, and then
you're take off to the races.
Yeah, or then they put out an idea that re-inspires you about the song, and then you're like, cool, let's write a bridge.
It comes together. Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah. It's so easy, right?
When you put it like that, it's so easy.
So rarely easy.
Yeah, I know. It really is. But when I have a feeling we're going to hear the culmination of that easiness.
Yeah. So, here we go.
Absolutely. Would it be possible to turn the headphones down?
Yes.
Great.
How's that?
Let's try it. Say again.
How's that?
That's good. Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. All right, cool. We're going to do this tune.
Cool. All right.
Trying to get him back on the line.
Okay.
Don't mind me. Don't mind me.
Here we go. If you loved another. If you loved another. Betray the things that you say when you're behind her door. If you kissed another, would she taste like me? What do you think of my lips? Chased another. Would she play hard to get? Would you relish the way you get her wrapped up around your little fingertip? Oh, would I wanna know? Would you let me go before she took you? Yeah.
Beautiful. That was awesome.
Thanks.
Giggles, we got you?
I'm here. I'm here.
Cool. You're there. He's here.
Yeah.
I'm
here. He's there. He's in some capacity, I think. Oh, that was awesome. That was really beautiful.
Thank you.
Man, I'm tired. But that was really nice. So wrote that together.
Yeah.
How does your writing process usually work that way?
Well, I think the songs for this record were all kind of a different
different bag.
That one I wrote a full year and a half before I showed it to Amy. I didn't write the whole thing. I wrote the idea. I had the makings of it. And then I showed it to Amy when we were in the writing process, and she the song spoke to her. So then she took it and wrote some verses, and then we came back and we wrote a bridge and then found the structure of the whole thing. So that one, that was a collaborative in separate moments kind of song, which is kind
of
cool.
Well, and a couple of the songs were like that on the record, like Chasing the Sun, which is the second tune. I had started a couple of years, I think, before we started. Yeah. And so that was sort of a reverse of that as well. Like, I played it for Nat and he was like, well, that's a whole song. What have you been doing with this song for, and not playing it for this long, you know? And so we just tweaked it and finished the kind of, arrangement of it and, with the band, and that became a part of the record. And so, yeah, the whole record was a pretty much a collaborative thing in a lot of ways, which was cool. With the whole band, so.
And then there's one song on the record that four of us, Amy, myself, Seth Johnson, the guitar player, and Stu Mahan, the bass player, kind of all wrote in a room together. So,
yeah.
That's really cool.
There's no one way that these songs can
No, that's the thing about music. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's so, the music, it just comes to you. It's like in the air, right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have to catch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't catch it, you miss that song forever. I kind of feel like.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, but sometimes you catch a song and it sits in the net for 2 years.
Well, yeah, of course. There's always that. There's always that. I'm going to get this a little bit closer to you. Pull it a little closer to you. Let's get intimate.
Is that a little better?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yes.
Just trying to get the guitar with
whenever you say, let's get intimate.
Oh, there he is.
I love it. There he is.
There he is.
I'm back. Oh, man. I'm hanging on a lifeline. Like, I don't get to be a part of the show unless Dave... You know, is an AV wizard.
I know. Sometimes I have to be like Johnny on the spot with this technical stuff, and it's too much for one person who's like hard jet lagged.
Oh, man.
But, so Giggles is with us. He's in Colorado. He's a lovely individual who has a bunch of kids and a great dad.
Yay. Thank you.
And my co-host for about 10 years now.
Wow.
And we were just talking about John Shannon, who kind of a mutual friend.
Mm-hmm.
He, before Giggles moved to Colorado, we did one of our shows out of his apartment in Astoria. And came over and did a whole bunch of songs for us.
Yeah, that's great.
Great guitar player, great singer, great guy.
Yep.
Great guy.
That's in awesome. My office.
In your office.
In my second bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah.
He's the man. He's been in New York for a while.
He's amazing.
He's a quick plug for John Shannon. He's opening up a jazz restaurant in Pittsburgh.
What?
I saw something
called
about that today.
Cone with Heart or something. Shoot, I might be getting it wrong. But yeah, he's got a collaboration. He just posted on Facebook.
Oh, that's cool. Cool. I didn't know
he's
about
opening
that.
Opening up a they're the collaborating on a jazz restaurant in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So he's affecting the Pittsburgh jazz scene.
That's awesome.
So he's settling on Pittsburgh. That's apparently a very hip upcoming city.
It's a cool town.
I could see John doing well there.
That's awesome.
So we were talking before we went to the song that you went to go see a show last night.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Patty Griffin at Town Hall in Midtown. It was phenomenal. It was my second time seeing her. I saw her on Martha's Vineyard last summer for the first time.
Oh, that must have been nice.
Was it an outdoor show? No, it was in the Old Wailing Church.
Oh, that's kind of
which was
cool.
Really cool. Very intimate. And this one was, you know, a little larger venue, but historic venue and great acoustics.
Yeah.
She had two amazing musicians with her, and she was plugging her new album, which is phenomenal. And she's just so inspiring to me. I mean, as a performer, especially, like, Patty, I love you. Don't get mad. But, like, she's not perfect as a performer at all.
Yeah.
Like, she's just in the moment. And so she... I worry so much when I see videos or hear recordings of myself in live performances that I didn't hit this or that note perfectly or whatever. But like, it's so much it's about so much more with live performance, and 100%. She really just captures this magic of of the stage. Does,
I mean, as far as what you've learned from her, I feel like you're telling me that you're taking away that it doesn't matter if you don't hit those notes.
Yeah,
it's a matter.
Sometimes
it's the live experience.
It's painful to say though out loud.
But it's fine. It's fine. But I mean, it's that live experience of giving something and then having someone receive something that you're like pouring your heart out onto.
Yeah, totally.
That's pretty much what it's all about. Right?
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for.
100%.
I've definitely not hit some notes. I've tried to hit some notes. I tried to sing Stand By Me, and I started in the wrong key.
Oh, dear.
Well, it was the correct key, but I'm a baritone. And I started at a tenor, key. And I looked at the guy's face. The guy who was, like, watching me audition, and the face was just like, oh, God, he's not going to make it.
Oh, no.
If he's not comfortable here, he's definitely not going to make it. And, oh, God, my voice cracked. It was terrible.
What about the time we went to sing karaoke and got drunk, and your brother-in-law decided that he was going to sing with you karaoke. What song was it?
No, I tried to sing Unchained Melody.
Unchained Melody. But he was like, it's too high for me. So his brother-in-law was like, I'll transpose it to a lower key on the spot. And I mean, it worked for him. He did a great job. But Giggles, on the other hand, was like thrown off and drunk. But it was lovely. I loved it. I videotaped it and laughed the whole time.
Oh, man. We've all got crazy stories.
Let's talk about your show coming up on the 21st here.
Look at this guy.
Segway at Rockwood, Stage 3, great acoustics. Mm-hmm. Probably great for your voice, great for your sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's like a good vibe, a good place for you.
100%. Yeah. I'm actually doing it in... together with my friend Jenny Kern, who just dropped an EP as well. We've been just hanging out and talking music a lot, so we were like, let's do a show together.
That's cool.
So we're gonna play on each other's songs and just do an intimate.
Is it just you two?
Yeah, just the two of us. She's an amazing guitar player and vocalist, so we're gonna do some harmonies, and
we'll tell her that she's invited on the show anytime.
Absolutely. I'm definitely sure she'd love to.
That's cool. So I went to go see Trey last night in DC, and The interesting thing about that show, and this is what I wanted to get to, was the just kind of like the courage that he put out there.
Yeah.
I mean, take what you will, fish and all that, that whole scene, right?
I've been to fishing.
Sure. But like, so he goes out there and he's doing a whole tour with music that no one has ever heard before.
Wow.
So the whole show. So I went there with people who've never seen Fish, never seen Trey, and they were like, they would turn to me and like, they were like, is this good? And I was like, this is the first time I'm ever hearing this. Everyone in the audience, this is the first time they're ever hearing this.
Ballsy.
And he has a whole tour that's sold out based on the song. And no one's ever heard this music before.
They put out one song, right?
Yeah, the one song. But I mean, it was even part, I think, wasn't it? Or was it a full song or was
it
just part?
I just know because I have friends who
It was just remarkable to me. And like, there was numbers that were bangers and there was numbers that were like, I have to listen to that again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was good or not. But
was it stylistically consistent or was it?
It was stylistically consistent. He definitely had, Fishman's on drums, so he's got that like kind of rock, as it were. Right. His musicians he had with him were great. Jen Hartswick is singing. Amazing. She's amazing. And like, the musicians was phenomenal. So like, they were able to like just kind of groove out for a minute and let him kind of like take the song somewhere where he was going with it. And then like, it definitely had like more of like a later Trey vibe.
Was there a lot of improvisation?
There was some. I would say probably 30% improv.
That's that's probably a good ratio.
Yeah, and then he busted out the acoustic for a song or two.
Okay. Cool.
He got off guitar for a song and kind of sang with the girls, with Jen and the other one.
Cool. That's nice.
Yeah, it was nice. The chaos outside that was happening though. The show was supposed to start at 8. The doors opened at 6:30. And Cherry Blossom Festival was happening at the same time. So it was madness. It was madness.
Yeah,
like,
that's a lot.
I have a picture. I'll show it to you. I sent it to Giggles last night. And it was just like wall-to-wall people. And they Trey didn't start the show till 9 because nobody could get in.
Oh, man.
It was just madness.
And they didn't have an
opener
or anything.
Trey.
Yeah, that's Trey.
Yeah, that's so Trey.
That's so Trey.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't.
I'd like to hear if that's cool. Who's your who's with you, Dave? Sorry, I wasn't connected when you guys were. Who's the guy? Who's the top player?
This is Nat Osborne.
Nat Osborne.
Yeah. Not on the street.
Nat Osborne.
On the way over here. Nat and
it's Bushwick. Yeah. Everyone has a guitar.
Nat and Amy Bales.
Who's the guy with the guitar?
AmyBales.com. You can go to your site. And what do you have on the site that people could check out?
I have. There is a media page where you can listen to the music. I think I'm like
looking,
I need to update my website,
it.
But
I
yeah,
see it a little bit. Yeah,
there's a little bit of that on there, but there's a link to stream it on Spotify. There is a merch page where you can order a vinyl record,
which you gave me one.
Which yeah,
yes, I'm super thrilled.
Yeah, they came out really beautiful. I sort
really
of
pretty.
Decided to do them last minute. So
who did the art on it?
My friend Chris Urbino and Davi Russo. Chris sort of did like the art direction of it, and Davi did the photograph. And yeah, Chris designed it and made it work, made it happen.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
really cool.
New Orleans Record Press did the pressing for me. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you have go ahead. Somebody's talking. Oh, giggles.
It's me. Sorry. If we're not there, it's hard to.
It's hard to,
know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So this album, Enough, mm-hmm. what's the story behind it? Why, you know?
Why Enough or why the album?
why called Enough?
So it's named after the last song on the record, which is a song I wrote about my mom who passed away in 2014. We found these journals of hers. I can talk more about this when we play the song if you want, or I can talk about it now. It doesn't matter.
let's talk about it now, and then we'll play the song.
Yeah.
So that we'll
have the mic.
Yeah. So
you got the mic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, we found these journals that
nobody
she had,
knew about
that we didn't know about. She started them in, I think, 86 maybe.
Wow.
When I was 4 and my sister was 2, and my middle sister, our youngest sister, came along later. She had gotten this idea from a friend of hers to write journals to us, and just about what we were doing and what we were like as children, and also like her hopes for us. And
that is the sweetest thing.
It was really amazing.
Heard.
Yeah. So we found those.
You should take a tip from this, Giggles. You should do this for your kids.
I'm listening.
It's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, because those little daily things, like she literally would just write down, you fought with Becca today, or you were nice to your sister today, or, you know, you guys were playing this game or coloring this thing or whatever. Just little details that, of course, you don't remember from that age.
Of course
and,
not. Yeah, you're 4.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty amazing to find. And I was just thinking about that for quite a while. And the first verse kind of hit me when I was in the shower one day, which happens to me a lot.
The shower is the best place.
It's so great just to like just zone out and not think about anything. And that's when kind of songs hit me often.
And it sounds so good in the shower.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I
know.
Sounds
great.
Well, and I don't actually sing in the shower usually unless a new song hits me. Yeah. Not really.
No.
Every once in a while, but. I'm sort of just like
Nate,
getting
in the shower.
It's the one place I don't sing.
No,
I know it's like a weird thing.
That's all I
I'm
sing
like
in the shower. Not
shower kind of person.
So you're
I'm
just like
I'm
in and out.
Clean. Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah,
so
let's
I gotta
do
get
this
on
so
my
I
day.
Can. Yeah.
Giggles, you sing in the shower
all the time.
Yeah, there we go. All right, that was someone on my team.
I sing in the car. That's all
right. Yeah, car is a
car definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're sitting. You're sitting. You know, like
yeah. That's true.
You need to stand for the diaphragm.
That's true. I'm sitting right now. It's not very good.
So you're sitting in the shower.
Yeah, I was in the shower, and I kind of got the first verse, and it's you know about reading these words on the page about her thoughts about me and hopes for my life, and then I kind of didn't do anything with it for a while. It was another one of those songs like we were talking about from earlier that kind of sat around for a while.
Well,
and
I feel like that is like something that you have to like understand
totally
first.
It definitely needed to be processed. So when we were putting this record together, I was like, I need to finish this song. It feels important. And just this really simple song came out that is about reflecting my mother in the world now, you know, of wanting to be the best parts of her in the world, and being grateful that I had her, and trying to remember her life through me. So
I'm sorry about your mom.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
That's beautiful. But like,
thank
what
you.
A nice tribute. I
yeah.
mean,
thanks.
What a, like,
I mean, that's,
you know, you using your gifts to sort of like, keep her memory alive.
Yeah.
And just like the stories, and what a great thing to do. Like, you know, that is an amazing thing to do, to like write these moments that you don't.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Sort of know.
But
about,
also,
you know?
I feel like also like the idea, like I think in life, the number one goal I'm going to say it right now. The number one goal in life is to have a song written about you. You know? So your mom got that done. She That's did. Pretty cool.
She did, yeah. More will come, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Definitely.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it felt that felt like it needed to be the
guy
the
wants
title
to hear
track.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was waiting for the right segue.
Oh no, my capo is in my guitar.
It's basically just me and Matt looking at each other right now. So yeah. Matt and I are like the side guys. Like Dave, I can't even see Dave.
No, I'm gone. Yeah.
See Matt.
sorry, I just need to grab my capo. I forgot to.
I feel like she's
forgot to pull it out. Hello.
There you are.
There you are.
There you are.
Thank you for coming on the show. Like, yeah. We appreciate you spending some time and, you know, hanging out with us.
I appreciate
it's
you
nice.
Guys.
While he's
me.
Getting the capo.
Yeah. It's in the front, yeah. The top one. There you go. Yeah.
The what is one thing that you learned from those notes that like blew you away or made you laugh the hardest? Just give me one of those notes that was just like,
oh man,
wow, I was that kind of kid.
I don't know if anything like specific really kind of blew my mind. Also, I haven't read them a lot. Like, I kind of read them a few months after she passed away and then was kind of like, yeah, I don't need to read that a lot again. You know,
I'm good.
So, but the, she does in the beginning tell me the story of the day I was born, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Like, all the details of that and like, she had a really hard time and like there was some issues. And so it was like hearing that from her perspective, cause I've, you know, heard sort of the Cliff's Notes from my parents over the years,
sure.
But like that specific story was really neat to hear in her words.
That's really cool.
Cause I don't
that
think I
really
had
cool.
before. So,
cause
yeah.
I mean, also like when you hear a story, when you're like teenager and moving up through your 20s and all that, that story gets morphed and it gets convoluted
exactly,
and changed.
Yeah.
So like that, to have that moment of it actually happen.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So Enough.
Yeah.
The title track.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Bales, amybales.com. Playing
B-A-Y-L-E-S.
Yes.
I just want to make that clear.
Yes, and it's Amy like Amy Mann. A-I-M-E-E.
Y-L-E-S.
Enough.
Gotta be complicated with the spelling.
How could I ever be all you wanted me to be? All the pages of your life telling me. How could I ever be all you wanted me? But if I could ever be like you, that would be enough for me. As I read your words and I picture your sweet face, I imagine that you're here next to me. I can hear your voice and your laughter is so real. And if I can ever be like you, that would be enough for me. Can I journey on when earth no longer holds you bound? You are free, and with the angels you sing. I will search for your face in my own each day, and if I can ever be like you, that will be enough for me.
Absolutely stunning.
Thanks.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Amy Bales, Rockwood, Stage 3, May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Get your show up. I love that place. That's a great like place
is.
For you. Yeah. Feel special. It's just a nice place to see a show.
Totally. All the stages, really, in their own way.
Talk about the gospel, like the that sort of, that's kind of like your background, right? Is just singing in church.
My dad is a pastor, and so I, you know, that was where I really started to find my voice. I mean, singing harmonies in the church band. I grew up in a very like contemporary style church, like non-denominational. We had a worship band. You know, it was like all about the whatever newest like worship church music was happening, more so than hymns or traditional songs. So I actually only heard hymns really when we went down to my grandparents' church in Georgia, where my mom grew up.
And you were like, this is
like,
fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Like these are kind of cool songs. But yeah, so I would sing with the band. I did a lot with our youth group band and would lead sometimes, or just singing harmonies. I found out really early that singing harmonies is like my heart, you know. Yeah. I just love finding the counterpart to the melody and making other people
making it feel full.
Exactly. Yeah. Supporting other people. So I just kind of learned that skill there, and it really helped me when I was homeschooled for 5 years. So doing that, as well as ballet and like these other things were my life more so than activities in school.
Right.
So, that was a really big way that I found myself
How was being homeschooled? Did you feel like it, in your adult life, do you feel like it was beneficial, or do you feel like it was like something that you wish you didn't do?
No, I definitely don't wish I didn't do it. It was, it came at the right time. I'm glad I wasn't homeschooled for all of school because, you know, I had an elementary school experience through third grade and then was homeschooled from fourth through eighth. So I feel like I got to be out of school for the hardest part, like the middle school awkwardness.
Yeah, that's the awkward time.
So I got to just kind of do whatever I wanted at that time. Like during that period, I was, you know, ballet was really where my sister and I lived. We were there five days a week.
And yeah, that's the age
we
for
were
ballet.
Really in that nook. I don't know what the word
so
I'm looking
when
for.
When you
is.
Went back to high school, how was that?
I was ready. I was a little nervous, I'm sure, but I was definitely ready. I was like ready to be around.
Did you have like friends that you had throughout like your kindergarten through third grade?
Not from that period, because they were all probably still going to the private school that I went to when I was
So they were at
age.
Another school altogether.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So then you turn around, you go to a public school. You're the new girl.
Yeah, I was
you're
the new
ballet
girl, but it was
dancer.
A huge school.
You're the girl who could sing all these harmonies. It's great.
I mean, you know, I'm not the type to kind of blow into a room and be like, here I am, look at me. I'm
really?
Like,
because come on.
I mean, I like kind of hanging back and letting, like kind of assessing the situation before I,
No, you would just,
but,
you would just, I don't know about
Sashay into the room.
Yeah. So
I don't know if that's a ballet term.
No, blow is not a ballet term.
Yeah.
Nice ballet terminology, no. Matt.
But yeah, high school was good. I was ready to go. I was ready to have more experiences, and it was a good time. I got to do a lot more with music too. I mean, I got to finally start singing in a real choir and learned like a different style of singing and how to use my voice differently.
What's the size of the chorus that you were in when you were?
I was in the big chorus, the like concert choir. I don't remember.
Show choir.
Probably. Yeah. It wasn't, we didn't have a show choir. We had like a concert chorus, which was the larger ensemble that was like the elite large ensemble. And then we had we had two like small elite choirs that were the madrigal. There was a madrigal choir, which was mixed, men and women. And then there was an all women's one. And I was in the mixed, madrigal group. So I learned, you know, a cappella, that madrigal style singing, which I love so much.
Yeah.
When did opera happen?
Well, when I went to college. I mean, I didn't really have any formal opera training. I had taken a few voice lessons, and I had taken piano lessons. You know, my mom was a piano teacher, and then we also went to a different teacher for a while. And she had done some voice lessons with us, but I had kind of minimal training and was just kind of going on what felt right. And yeah. I wanted to get more of a classical base of training to really be able to use my voice more healthy.
Was it like difficult? Was it something?
Yeah.
I can imagine it would be a lot more strenuous. Kinda.
Yes. I had a very good voice teacher who knew that I didn't have, per se, an opera voice. I wasn't ever trying to be an opera singer. I really just wanted a program with a good foundation in singing. And so I think I got that to some degree, thanks to Mr. Batty.
Mr. Batty, way to go, buddy.
He was amazing. Yeah.
He taught her well.
I got a question. Yeah. How many packs of cigarettes you smoke a day?
Ooh.
You look like a smoker.
I do.
I'm just kidding. You're not a smoker.
Obviously.
You're not a smoker.
Sometimes he throws out jokes.
I'm tired right now, but
no.
Sometimes I wish I were, because, you know, as cliche as it is, it does kind of look cool.
It looks cool. You know, yeah. It gives you a little rasp, you know.
It's got that edge.
One thing that I miss is that, like, going into a jazz bar and just be, like, smoke-filled. Like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. Mm-hmm. There was something really cool about that that is gone.
Funny thing about that smell, I used to do, like, these open mics in Manassas. I took a year off between high school and college and did like these open mics with my friend because I was, you know, just hanging around in my hometown. And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I would come home from this bar where my friend was hosting this open mic and my clothes would reek of cigarette smoke.
Of course.
And so I would like break out the Febreze and like hang my clothes outside and like Febreze them. And my dad was so proud because he was like, she's like getting out there into the world and like, in, you know, in with the people. Yeah. She's like,
she's socialized.
You know what I mean? She's like, like most, so many pastors would not have that reaction. But I was
that's really wild.
You know, they were like, you know, actually. Yeah, exactly. No, my parents were all about us like experiencing things. And
yeah, that's pretty much the opposite of what a pastor dad usually is.
I know, right? Yeah. I feel very lucky.
Especially
in that regard.
Southern pastor dad.
I know.
You know, like that's pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. Well, Melissa's joining us. She does the show right after us.
Yay.
And what was going on? I know she's not on mic, so thank you.
I got a question for Amy.
Yeah.
And Matt too, because you're part of this. Favorite venue that you'd want
to
play.
I tried to text
you know,
Nat.
Like
Nat. Yeah.
It's Nat. Not
Nat, like Nat King Cole.
Yeah, Nat. It's cool.
Oh, Nat. Oh, yeah. Like N-A-T.
He's all the way in Colorado. It's hard to hear out there.
I thought you said Matt. Sorry.
No,
Nat.
It's all good.
Okay.
You are not the first and not the last.
Yeah.
If you could perform in any venue in the world, where would you, like, you know, where would you go? Uh-huh. Amphitheater, Acropolis, you know, like, give me something, you know, Red Rocks. Give me, like.
Red Rocks would be cool.
What's your answer?
I was just in Red Rocks 5 days ago.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was there for the first time.
Who'd you go see?
Well, no, I just went. I was out.
Oh, you just hiking around?
Out in Denver, traveling, playing. I played with a band called Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds, and we had played in Denver and had a day free, and went out to see Red Rocks, and that place floored me.
Yeah.
Man, and when we were there, there was, you know, people just kind of walking around, and there were these three Buddhist monks, and one of them just sat in the middle and started singing. And you could, and we started up near her, and then we went to the top, and by that we could hear everything so crystal clear. The
just bouncing.
The acoustics in that place are remarkable.
Those rocks, yeah.
So that probably, before last week, my answer would have been the Beacon Theater, but as of you know, a week ago, it's got to be Red Rocks.
Cool. I don't know. I haven't really thought about this. I mean, after seeing a show in Town Hall last night, that'd be awesome. That room has
really
so
cool.
much history to it and such great acoustics. Like, I would love to play there.
Wouldn't it be great to just play MSG?
I mean, if the answer isn't
Madison Square Garden, I feel like we're kind of...
You're right. That would be kind of awesome.
I think I'd rather play Radio City than MSG.
Radio City
is a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not as many as MSG, but it still is like intimate. And
yeah. It's more intimate.
That's a good call.
I've been to so many MSG shows where you're like, I
Yeah.
This is, I feel so
but can you imagine being on stage? It'd be amazing. Yeah. It would probably change your life.
Yeah, but at that point, why not giant stadium?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like a massive sprawling.
Go, all right, so then I'm going to change it and to go to like one of those like Brazilian soccer stadiums.
Oh my God. The Rio.
Yeah, exactly.
110,000. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Man.
That would be crazy. Wild. Honestly, I'd be happy just to play anywhere in Ireland at this point. Like, I've never been there, and I just really feel like
it's
a place I need to go.
Are you doing any, like, tours, like, of America?
I have not. I don't have anything in the books as of now, but it's sort of...
You should.
In the back of my mind.
You do well out there.
Yeah.
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 You do well out there. And then also, like, the idea of, like, going to Colorado and be floored. Like, driving cross-country, mm-hmm. especially in that capacity,
yeah.
but driving cross-country is just, like, every day floors you.
Totally.
Every day is like, yeah. oh, my God, this is America?
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I know.
It's just, it's a great place that's all messed up, but it's a great place.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The natural beauty in this place is
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we hear another song?
Yeah.
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 What song do you guys want to play?
We can do this one called No One Can Tell Us No. It's the one that we were talking about, the four of us wrote in the writing process.
Two audio questions.
Yeah.
One, is there a gate on this mic? And if so, can we limit it a little bit?
I could take it down a little bit.
And then can we put this one on hers so that we can both play?
Yes.
Cool. Do that real quick.
It's up. So, yeah. Just
okay. Awesome. Cool.
Rock it over. Give it a little extension.
There you go.
Sweet. Love it. So yeah, this is for my New York family.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, all the people that I've met and who've become my family since I've been here. There's a faraway place that feels just like home. Where we all are together, where we're loved and we're known. And afraid, but we found us a family in the midst of this maze.
There's a place round the corner. That feels just like home.
That was my Red Rocks.
Thanks,
best
Dave.
Part of my Sunday right there.
Yeah, that was great. That was beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you.
I don't know where we can go from there.
I'm in my Colorado basement listening to that. I'll give you that.
That was really beautiful. Good. Thank you.
Oh, man. I really have nothing else to say. That was really, really beautiful. It was touching.
Thank you.
Here's a question. Is he crying?
Yeah.
Is he crying?
Here's a question that someone posted to me the other day, and it made me think. What's the last thing that truly moved you as a person?
Oh, I can tell you that.
All right. Get that mic closer to you.
I had a very, very, very moving experience really this week. There was I'm from New York, but over the past decade and a half, I've developed a special connection with a lot of musicians and wonderful people up in the town of Portland, Maine. And about 3 weeks ago, mutual musician friend of ours passed away really unexpectedly. And I had the pleasure of being up earlier this week on at a concert raising money for his family when the whole community of musicians rallied around this one gentle, wonderful, beautiful soul. And all of the groups that he played with in that city, which was a lot, got up on stage and played tributes to him,
a lot of tears.
Including his wife, who is a violist, who was on stage playing these beautiful string arrangements that he had arranged.
That's amazing.
And it was just amazing to see this small city rally around.
A lot of tears, I imagine.
A lot of tears. Yeah, a lot of joy and laughter and a lot of hugs and a lot of, but it was just really, really moving. And a testament to the power of music. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who end their lives with having amassed a lot of wealth, but there's not a ton of people at their funeral. And here's a man who dedicated himself to art, and when he passed away, a whole city threw a massive concert for him. And
so, in essence, he got a song written about him.
I think the man has a lot of songs written about him.
As we proclaimed,
a whole concert around it.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, we are David and Giggles, and in the end, I just want someone to write a song about me. That's it. That's it.
There we go.
Geez, Dave.
You want to write a song about me? All right, perfect. Liz is going to write a song about me. Giggles is going to write a song about me. Amy,
I went to the ballet yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear
it. I want Amy to know that. So.
Oh, I love the ballet.
Did it move you?
I haven't been in often enough.
Yeah, they did the Carmina. They did a Balanchine, and then they did a Carmina Burrata or something. So that song that's like,
yeah.
It's a beautiful song. Did it move you? Was it a touching experience?
No. I mean, no. It was...
Not so much.
Well, I asked my wife. I said, "Do you think we're going home after the ballet?" I said, "Do you think I could be one of those guys? Just like if somebody broke an ankle and they're like, Mike, go out there.
No.
Could I like you know
kind you of step like in?
Pull it off? Could somebody spot me from you know be like, oh, that guy definitely doesn't belong there?
Or
100%. I could probably yeah."
There's no way that you would last 2 seconds out there.
It's pretty tough. But
there was one guy that looked like he was a stand-in because he was lifting this girl up, and he was a lot smaller than the other dancers, and he was going off the stage, and you could tell like his arms were getting tired as he was you know holding the girl off the stage. I was like, you must be the stand-in.
That's hilarious.
It's like the male
cheerleader. Is that a thing? I guess that's a thing. I don't know.
I'm not quite sure.
Like, I can't imagine they let people on stage as stand-ins.
Right.
But
I feel like
maybe
it's
they do.
Way too dangerous. Way too dangerous.
For the woman that he's with lifting over his head. Yeah.
Amy, do you have any moments recently that have moved you?
I mean, yeah. Patty definitely moved me last night a couple times. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without sounding self-congratulatory because it didn't feel like that at all. My release show a few weeks ago was such a different level of support that I felt from
the audience. And I just, I felt a different energy and a different electricity from the people there surrounding me with their support and their love and their congratulations and everything that has been, that I've poured into this record just felt like it came back to me 100-fold. And I just, that was an incredibly special show that, really proud of.
Yeah.
I was there. I can
attest to it.
I was very moved watching Amy get moved, and everyone was moved. There were a lot of tears in the room.
There were a lot of tears on stage and off that night, and it was just a really special experience that I hope to have more of soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. We have a couple minutes left. We don't have another time for a song.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I want to let everyone know. Amy, it's A-I-M-E-E, bales.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there. And then Giggles has all the other information about the show coming up.
Rockwood Stage 3, Tuesday, May 21st. Boom.
9 p.m., yeah.
Yeah, 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Rockwood Get Stage there, 3.
yeah.
Amy, Rockwood. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
We talked for like months ago.
It's a long time
ago.
Coming,
like,
yeah.
Maybe even years ago.
Maybe.
And then it was just like we could never find like
I'm sensing a pattern in this, in the songwriting, that like this is a song I forgot about. Yeah. And then, yeah. Right.
So the next time I see you, you'll have a lot more songs.
Yeah.
You're welcome back anytime.
Thank
honestly,
you.
Both of you. Anytime.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to make it down to the Rockwood. I can't wait for it. Very cool.
Just Nat with an N. Nat with an N.
Nat Osborne.
That's me.
So
thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Giggles, what do you got?
Open invitation. If you guys want to come out to Colorado, now that you know I'm out here, let me know where you want to play, and I'll set it up.
Amazing.
I'll lay the groundwork for you.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
He'll manage a whole bunch of gigs for you.
Sweet.
They'll probably be in his basement, but they'll still be there.
Still be gigs,
yeah,
right?
They'll still be gigs.
We call this house shows.
House shows.
Yeah, totally legit.
Yeah.
House
shows. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I will say the last time that – I don't know if it's the last time, but the one time that I could think of that moved me was I went to go see Roger Waters. He was doing his tour. And he had these two women, and they're from some band, and I meant to look up the band, but they're from like a California band. They're amazing. And they both did a solo to Great Gig in the Sky off the Dark Side.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
By the end of it, I looked over at my friend who I went with, and he just started laughing because I was just like tears rolling down my
That's
face.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I know. Great Gig in the Sky gets me every time.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, David Giggles, AmyBales.com. Awesome. Thank you guys
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Please come back again.
Yeah.
All Thank right. you guys.
Later. We got 4 seconds left. You just killed.